But where are you really from?
But where are you really from?
Hey everyone, my name is Angela Lin.
And I'm Jesse Lin, and welcome back to another episode of But Where Are You Really From?
Today we have a special guest with us, Lydia Bai. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
We're excited to have you too. Before we get started, we definitely want the listeners to know who you are. So why don't you give yourself a little bit of an introduction and fit in our signature question that we like to ask, but where are you really from? But answer that the way you want to answer it, not the way you may have been forced to answer it.
Where I'm really from is... I live in Irvine. I have an amazing dog. He's 90 pounds. His name's Major. And I love living in California.
Hold on. We didn't even know this. Jesse and I are from Irvine.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Born and raised.
And I'm literally going to move back there for a bit next month. So
let's hang out. Yeah. Done. Yeah. I also moved to Northern California for school. I went to Stanford and then I worked in the Bay for like 6 years and then pandemic hit and I moved back and I just love it here. But to answer the original question, an introduction to me, Lydia. I played volleyball all 4 years at Stanford. I remember like being one of the few Asian girls playing volleyball. And then I did investment banking. Once again, only girl now and only Asian girl there. And then I went into like startup culture in San Francisco. And then what kind of saved me from burnout and all of that stuff and this kind of finding my self-worth, I got to be in a movie in China in Mandarin about my mom. And I just suddenly was just surrounded by so many other Chinese people. And it was just so amazing. And then it kind of changed my trajectory for my career. And I'm like now a life coach. And so that's just like a quick intro about me.
Wow. Okay, hold on. So many things. Going back to China to play your mom in a movie. Okay. Who is your mom? Please tell everyone who is your mom that you were able to play her in a movie.
Yeah, my mom is Long Ping and she is just a really famous volleyball player in China. I'm going to explain it as if I was explaining it to my white friends. because like normally like if I'm talking to Mandarin speakers and they're from mainland China or their parents are like, oh my God, like my mom loves your mom or whatever, right? She is just a really cool person. I think she's like a four-time Olympian now, and she won gold as a player, 84. She played that championship match against the U.S. in the L.A. Olympics, and it was hosted in Long Beach, and that was just super cool. It's like China versus the U.S. China won, and at that point, China was still very much a third world country. So like even just their training and those things are like pretty much Stone Age level, but being able to beat the U.S. was like pretty cool. And so I got to play the younger version of her, like training and stuff. So that was pretty cool.
That's awesome. What was that experience like? Do you feel like you learned something new about your mom by playing her?
Honestly, it was just more like my experience was so cool being on set, acting and speaking in Mandarin and finally having friends in China that spoke Mandarin too. I feel like because I was born in the US and I only went back during the summer, I didn't really have any Chinese native friends. And that was just so fun to be accepted and just be a part of this community. And regarding my mom's stuff, honestly, the film is not entirely true. The scenes are like very much fabricated. So I think in that sense, I didn't learn more about my mom, but it was cool because she got to visit on set and we got to like bond and have some cute moments together.
I have a question about having to act in Mandarin. Okay, so I don't know your Mandarin level, but Jesse and I talk about this a lot because we also are American born, but grew up speaking Mandarin in the household, went to Chinese school, blah, 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 but you know, not as fluent as somebody born and raised fully in the motherland. So for me, like I'm putting myself in your shoes. confused imagining that was me. And I'm like, oh my God, even reading the script, I probably would not have been able to like read the script. And then to convincingly, like naturally speak as if I'm a full grown adult who grew up there, for me would have been really, really difficult. So what was that experience like? I'm imagining like the cast and crew helped to make it a little bit more like natural feeling. Like how, what was that experience like to up level your Mandarin?
Totally. So I'm just like you guys, probably just taking AP Chinese in high school and maybe going to like Chinese class on Sundays. So it was crazy. They gave me the entire script and I couldn't read it. there were just like too many words I didn't know. And so basically we just had to take out just my scenes, translate it. And I just had to learn that scene, that part of the story, like a month before, basically. I didn't even know if I got the part yet, but I was working with an acting coach. So we just like worked on it a lot, explaining the story and the character. Honestly, it was pretty stressful because, you know, if they were like, oh, today we're filming this scene, and I'd be like, I don't know this scene. And I would have to like pull out the page and like Google Translate, like, what does this mean? And then, okay, what is the correct way to like pronounce this? The intonations, like, or like whatever it is, and just practice it. But the most stressful part was after filming it, and I would go to like a press tour. And it was really stressful because this was about my mom, and she's such an icon in China. And they would ask me these really tough questions about like New Pai Jing Shen and like the like Chinese cultural movement. And I'm just like, I have like second grade level. Like, and it's so tough because just like you said, like I am an adult. And so I know how to speak English and I can convey myself intellectually like very clearly, but when it comes to Mandarin, my listening is great, like probably high school level listening, but my speaking is like second grade level. And it's so weird to interact in an environment where I can't really speak at the level that I want to. And I really came to terms with that like head to head during this press tour because they would ask me these questions about my mom and like China and then how it's different for people now versus then. And I remember I had to like Google Translate, figure out like generally what I had to memorize, and it was just really stressful.
That sounds really stressful. I totally vibe with you because that's exactly how I felt when we just recorded an episode, or it's live right now, where I was talking about going back to Taiwan recently, and I had to do like adult things. Like I opened a bank account and like activated health insurance and all this shit. And I'm like, I don't know how to say any of this stuff. And they're asking me all these questions at the bank of like certain features or like investment tools or whatever, if I wanted to activate them. I'm like, sure. I'm like, it's weird, right? To feel like, you know, they see you and expect a certain level of Mandarin comprehension and like speakability based on how you look and your age and whatnot. But we just don't have that necessarily.
I just reminded me, like, so because it's a volleyball movie, I had a team that like they cast, and it's just 12 other girls that I mentioned, you know, I finally made friends. But even then I realized that because I had like a second grade level, whatever, I kind of acted like a kid. And I don't know if it was because, you know, you're an actor, so you're more connected with your inner child and you're more playful. But there were some pretty hurtful things that some of the girls kind of inferred about me, which was like, oh, you're an American, so you're kind of like dumb. I think because I couldn't articulate myself and kind of demonstrate my knowledge, they just assumed that I was kind of dumb. So that was more hurtful than the press conference.
I'm sorry to hear that. But you did mention that this movie was kind of like a jumping off ground, if you will, for you to transition into something new. So I'd love to hear what about the experience really triggered that for you.
Obviously, every experience is multifaceted. Overall, amazing experience, super motivating. I felt like I found purpose again, and I was just able to speak and be myself. And that was very different. When I went back to the Bay, I just like came back to my desk. Like when you're back in this same environment, the same feelings come in. And it was just like, wow, I'm feeling burnout, like severe burnout. I'm not motivated. I don't want to be here. Having that different experience and then just popping back into San Francisco, I was just like, oh, this is what I was feeling. Like, this is what was going on. And I wasn't afraid to just leave San Francisco and move back home to Irvine. And that just pushed me towards figuring that out. And then that's what I do now. I'm a life coach and I help people.
That's awesome. You mentioned something about speaking, and it made me feel like you were saying, in a way, like in your life experience up until the movie, you weren't being heard. Could you say more about like what that feeling is like?
Absolutely. I'll start with when I did acting classes to prepare for the film, they would like do this thing where, you know, after you're warmed up and you're relaxed, they have you close your eyes and they're like, imagine a scenario where you think about someone that really hurt your feelings and you bring them up in your head and you imagine that person being right in front of you. And basically it's just like, what would you say to them now if you could talk to them right now? I had the person in mind. I had the, you know, imagined conflict where they wronged me and I couldn't say it out loud. And what it felt like physically was like just a pressure on my chest. After that day, we did it again the next day and the next, and eventually I could say what I wanted to. And I think it was just all of my experiences from growing up, college, investment banking, startup, where I just feel like I didn't belong. And so I needed to cater to other people's needs, making sure that everyone else feels okay. But I think doing that over and over again, I just lost the bravery it takes to say what you really want. And I think I just shrinked a little bit in that way.
It sounds like your acting experience was a bit of live therapy for you. Does that feel like part of the process?
Yeah, it really did. And it also fueled my curiosity. That's why it fueled my curiosity to go into life coaching. I just realize now with, you know, the things that I've learned so far in my kind of coaching career is that sometimes just changing what you believe about yourself, believing like I'm enough or I got this, that only goes so far because our bodies, when we are in these situations where we feel like we don't belong or these social situations that are uncomfortable, our like nervous system just automatically is activated and we feel stress, anxiety. When your body is in that state of stress, you sometimes can't access, you know, your logical thinking or that part of your brain. I think it's just really important to give yourself some space, not necessarily be too hard on yourself that like, oh, I should have like, you know, said this out loud. It's like, it's a journey to find your voice. And I think the best way to do that would probably be to forgive yourself, just be easy on yourself, because that's just another layer of anxiety that we self-inflict.
You mentioned that working on the movie and being in that environment of also having to like speak Mandarin and interact with different kinds of people helped you find this voice. But at the same time, you were forced to use a language that you don't have like as much capability to communicate yourself fully with as in English. So like, was it putting yourself in like such a foreign, like out of your norm experience, was that the thing that shook you? Or like what part of that experience helped you find that voice, considering that it kind of suppresses your voice in a bit because you can't like communicate everything?
So I think what helped me find that like speaking out thing was the acting training. Like every single day in acting class, you're asked to do these fucking outrageous, ridiculous things. And it's basically you just coming up against your own voice where it's like, for example, my acting coach started playing classical music and he was like, okay, imagine yourself as a speck of dust and you're floating in the air to this music and embody this dust. And in my head, I'm just like, what the fuck is this? Like, this is so ridiculous. It's so embarrassing. But then it's like, no, you just have to do it. If you don't do it like fully into it, you have to start over. And the reason why you don't pass is because you're battling with your own like inhibitions of like, oh, this is weird. Ugh. And so in order to fully be able to complete the task, you have to just ignore and just get through all of that self-talk, all of that like things that are cautioning you, don't do this, it's embarrassing. And I think you just do it over and over again and you realize that the biggest blocker for you to actually complete the task is really your own mind that's telling you to not do this. That really just helped me. Even during the press tour, I was speaking in Mandarin. And when that came into my head where it was like, oh, your Mandarin isn't even that great, I just had to just be like, I still have to do this though. And so like push this to the side and be like, all right, well, this is as good as it's going to get. And I just knew that if I wanted the best chance at succeeding at speaking at whatever level I was at, I just had to move those thoughts aside and just try and complete the task.
Yeah, it really sounds like your acting experience was like 10 years of therapy crammed into your 2 month sabbatical.
Yeah, that's so true.
Hey, listeners, wondering how you can support us? The biggest way is by increasing our visibility by following us on Instagram at Where Are You From Pod, on TikTok at But Where Are You Really From, subscribing to our YouTube channel under But Where Are You Really From Podcast, rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts, and telling your friends. The more people we can get to listen to the show, the more we can continue spotlighting different perspectives and stories. And if you feel so inclined, we're also accepting donations at buymeacoffee.com/whereareyoufrom. Thanks, y'all.
So you mentioned about your coaching. Is there a specific population you work with and like a specific topic that you work with most commonly?
Yeah, I focus on women in tech and I just help them deal with that stress that they feel when they work in a male-dominated workplace. Our journey with validation is, you know, from a young age, if I do this well, oh, like mom's happy, dad's happy. Then when you're an athlete, it's just like, oh, winning a game feels like you're on drugs. So you just want to keep on accomplishing more and feeling more validated. And then when you are thrown into the workplace, and for me, it was the investment banking space, I felt discomfort being in a room with strange men varying from all ages. I just felt so uncomfortable. And I think my brain was just like, okay, if you want to deal with this discomfort, you need to get validated by your work. Like you just need to work harder and just do well and just be a star. And then you won't feel this discomfort. Over time, I just began to make failures mean so much about me that I just wasn't going to fit in, or like this just wasn't for me, or like these guys are just better than me. I ended up being in a constant state of stress at work. And, you know, if I knew what I know now and I could tell my younger, hardworking self that's so hard on herself, I would just say that, you know what? What you're feeling right now isn't because you're not good at your job. It's because you're actually feeling this physical state of high stress and your body's just soaked in stress juice. And it has nothing to do with your capability to create good work. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have a great career. It's just that you are really tired and overwhelmed from repeating this story to yourself over and over again that you aren't enough. You don't belong. All that stuff is BS. Like at the end of the day, take care of yourself because your body is going through an actual stress response and it's activated. So make sure at the end of the day, you draw yourself a hot bath. Maybe you exercise, maybe you dance, or you like listen to a song, but anything that kind of invokes play and letting yourself know that you're safe and you can rest, I think is so important because then we're able to kind of complete that stress cycle and our body knows that we're safe and it signals to the brain that you're safe, everything's okay, so that the next day it doesn't carry over and just continue to build from that level. Because when that happens, like let's say that day this happened and you're at like a 400 level activation, and then if you don't take a bath, watch some comedy on YouTube and laugh out loud, like really laugh, the next day you're going into work at that 400 level. And then, you know, something really chill could happen that's not that bad, but it builds upon that. And so you don't really want that to happen where it builds up on the next day. You really want to try and reset every single day.
So it sounds like a lot of the work that you do is practical and like doing a lot of exercises with your clients to work through the specific situations that they're stuck on and how to like overcome it. What is the difference between therapy and life coaching? And what is the scenario in which you would need both? Some of the things you mentioned, I've probably done before with my therapist, but some things I haven't. Is it like, because your whole niche is around work, it's just the opportunity to dive like much deeper and focus on that? Or like what else is specifically life coachy area versus therapy area?
Such a good question. For life coaching, it's very transparent on what we're working on. And it's also more forward focused. So I ask the client, where do you want to be at the end of our kind of coaching program? And how do you want to feel at work? And so I kind of guide them to be like, at the end of this program, I want to feel calm when I walk into the work office, motivated. I feel a sense of purpose. I have my own back. And more concretely, when I walk into a meeting with more than two people, I feel safe enough to share and add value to the conversation and not take myself out of the meeting ahead of time because I feel like they won't listen or, you know, they won't receive my input. How it's different than therapy is we dive into some of the beliefs that you might have regarding that specific, exactly, that specific scenario, and we'll work on that, giving you some actionable things to do that you can do after our one-on-one sessions together that were in real time, you'll be like, oh, this is what I keep doing. This is what Lydia was talking about in my session earlier this week. And then you just create more actionable steps. So, you know, the next week in the next meeting, you're like, oh, I can do this, right? So it's just more progressive, looking forward. I'm always checking in and we're actively working on these things.
Listeners, thank you for tuning in. Lydia, thank you for joining us. This is a good segue, I think, for you to let our listeners know where they can find you, where they can contact you, what you're currently working on.
Yeah, for sure. And also, I want to give a shout out to Jesse and Angela, because the fact that you guys created this podcast, I was just so stoked to find you guys. And but where are you really from? Like that question, it just hits really deep. And then listeners, thank you for listening. I love connecting with other Asian Americans. So please hit me up. You can find me at www.LydiaBai.com, LYDIABAI. It'll be in the show notes, I'm sure. And then also connect with me on LinkedIn. Send me a DM, slide into my DMs. It's just LinkedIn.com/LydiaBai. Check the show notes for more information.
Thank you so much for joining us. We had a lot of fun with you today on this episode. Listeners, thank you for listening. If you have questions for Lydia, reach out in our comments, or you've already heard now, LydiaBai.com or LinkedIn. Hit her up, hit us up. Let us know what you resonated most with in this episode. And come back next week because we will have another fresh episode for you then. And until then,
bitches.